Hello and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness. Today is the 18th of the month, and hopefully this will go out live onto YouTube, as it were, tomorrow the 19th. So I want to start off with a few interesting developments that we've seen around the globe, and then go on to the questions. Seattle, a very interesting city in the west part of the US, saw a guy called Richard Russell crash his two-engined plane. Well, it wasn't really his plane, but it was in the sense that he was flying it into the ground. And the media have really covered the fact that he was suicidal, sort of a Walter Mitty type character, took the airplane up for a joyride, and sadly lost his life. There is actually far more to it than that. And what I wanted to do was to, I suppose, open the debate on that. And the first thing I think we should all of us understand is that this guy did not have a pilot's license. He was working as a technician with airplanes in an airfield. He'd been there, I think, about 3.5 years, but did not have a pilot's license. And yet he was able to use one of those sort of buggy cars to taxi the airplane to a position, get into it, start it up, don't know how he did that, and take off and fly. And during the conversation between himself and the control tower, he said that he'd learned to fly through video games. Now, that's being spun by a number of people who are saying he learned through flight simulators. That's not what he said. He said, I learned to fly through playing video games. There are a number of video games you can buy from the high street that, you know, simulate an aeroplane. But a number of people are commenting that, oh yes, you know, I've been on one of those top-of-the-range simulators and I did this and I did that. Well, yeah, I'm sure. But that's not what he said. He said he'd learnt it from video games. What I don't understand is how somebody who does not have a pilot's license could keep in the air for nearly an hour and pull some of the most intricate loops, and there's video evidence of him doing that. People have filmed that. And then, obviously, tragically crashed and killed himself. What is interesting is that there is a place called, I think it's called McNeil Island. Now, he crashed just to an island, just to the side of McNeil Island. And on McNeil Island was a paedophile rehabilitation centre, which I think closed in 2011. So when convicted paedophiles had served their time in penitentiary or prison, they were then moved to a number of locations, and one was this location on McNeil Island, where they were rehabilitated and got ready to go back into the society. And this aeroplane that Richard Russell was flying had a flight path that took it right over there. So the information I'm getting is that this is a warning to President Trump from a number of people whose names perhaps are contained in sealed indictments, saying, don't open those indictments, don't push it, because we can put aircraft into buildings. Now, clearly that is an echo of 9/11, and I don't think that's lost on anybody. Remember that the government of America is in the East Coast, this happened on the West Coast, but the information I'm receiving is not just a straightforward thing. So that's something perhaps worth looking at and looking for. The other interesting thing is that President Vladimir Putin visited Austria on his way to a meeting with the Chancellor of Germany, but he stopped off en route to meet the foreign minister. In fact, she was getting married, and he took a present and a group of Cossack singers, and presented her with an oil painting. And what I thought was rather amusing was that the Green Party have called for her resignation because she is threatening the European Union, the European democracy, or because she invited a friend, and President Putin is a friend of hers, to attend her wedding. The underscoring battle going on here, of course, is a pipeline that's being built between Germany and Russia. And there are lots of people in Europe that are very unhappy about this, because once it's completed, Germany will be able to pipe in natural gas directly from Russia. It won't come through any of the Arabian countries. Now, why would Germany go into a multi-billion deal with Russia to pipe gas if Germany, of course, is a member of NATO, has troops of all nationalities based on its borders, supposedly fighting the great enemy, which is Vladimir Putin, and yet the Russian government, that's Angela Merkel, has signed up to a deal to buy gas directly from Russia. So this is the hypocrisy of politics. On one hand, you've got the large media giants bleating out these stories about how Putin is an enemy, and then secretly in the background you've got members of NATO doing side deals with Putin. So I think Putin just made this little stop off in Austria just to ruffle a few feathers, and nobody in Germany is going to attack him simply because they want to buy the gas. They're not happy with the Arabian countries. The Arabian countries are much more likely to hold a European country to blackmail, to start altering the prices, cut off the taps. But it's interesting that the old control elements in Europe are really unhappy about that. So that was something that I wanted to bring to your attention, because it's not really getting a lot of coverage. Quickly move on to blockchain, getting information that a number of key players are trying to take control of blockchain simply because they now believe they have supercomputers that can fix deals. They can predict and fix deals, and so it's in their interests to take control of a number of cryptocurrencies. I don't mean take control of them in terms of illegally hacking. I mean take control in terms of buying out the companies or the organizations, so they have a controlling share, and then routing everything through their own networks. So that's something that would suggest that any of you who are considering investing look very carefully into the strength or the members, who holds those stocks, who holds those shares, and how likely are they to sell out. So that's something that I think you might want to have a look at. I've always talked a little bit about Elon Musk and Tesla, and I've said that I thought that Musk and Tesla were on a downward spiral. For those of you who've had a quick look, it's quite interesting. He's claimed to be working 120 hours a week and taking a prescribed drug to keep himself awake. Says he sleeps on the floor of the factory. Talked about buying out Tesla by a private venture, said that he's got a deal with the sovereign fund of those people again from Saudi Arabia, and the share price is just tumbling and tumbling and tumbling. So I really don't know what he's up to. Is he up to dropping the price so much that it's easier and cheaper to buy out? Is he just absolutely fed up with Tesla, or is something else much bigger going on? Very interesting character. So that again is something worth watching, because he's one of the elite. He's a guy who gets money given to him to do operations, to buy companies, to set something up, and then walk away from it before it's really reached fruition. And although his track record isn't particularly brilliant, it doesn't seem to stop the elite giving him money. So there's obviously a game going on here. I truthfully haven't worked out what that game is. I don't understand why somebody who is the chief executive of an organization would make a public announcement that he sleeps on the floor of his factory, unless he's trying to show everyone just what a hard worker he is. So that's probably something worth having a look at. The indictments, we hear a great deal, and I've spoken about the large numbers of indictments sitting somewhere in President Trump's office. The information I'm getting is there are probably between 10 to 12 which are the most serious or the most high ranking, and those are in the process of being opened. Now, I had always predicted September, October for what we call autumn and what my American colleagues call fall, but we had looked at probably September, October for it to start happening, but looks like it's starting a little bit earlier. So not a mass opening of large hundreds and hundreds, but a top opening, maybe the first 5, 6, 7, 8 or what have you. There are some very key names there, and if just one of those charges sticks and one of those individuals is brought to court, and if that individual is found guilty, then there's a complete game change on this planet, a total game change. So that's again is something that we need to work out and watch carefully. The official media will not cover this literally, I suppose, until there's our white cat again, just on cue. The official media won't cover this until someone literally comes to court. So all the preliminaries which you would normally expect to be covered by the newspapers, without going into detail, just reporting the facts, of course, they won't even do. The only time is when they're, you know, dragged kicking and screaming to the press office because someone with a very big name has actually been subpoenaed and actually walks up the stairs of a courthouse. So things are going on, but to the majority of us, nothing's happening. You know, it's gone quiet. It hasn't. It's just that there isn't a single news outlet that's state-controlled or privately controlled that has its reporting structure back to the elite that will dare print or say anything at the moment. There's still a battle going on. There are a number of people who, and this is quite verifiable, who have said they will testify and, of course, have tragically had suicides, taken their own lives, perhaps in some cases the day before they were due to testify against some of the very big players on the map, and they tragically, you know, kill themselves. So that's something, again, that I can understand would be a great turn off for people to come forward and want to speak the truth. And I was chatting to someone the other day and I said the only way around this, you know, is to literally take these witnesses and put them in a secure place on an island and ring it with the Marines and literally guard them. It's the only way. And then there would have to be a lifetime protection deal, because otherwise who's really going to come forward and testify when there's such a track record of people who've been very brave and who have tragically, you know, decided to kill themselves the day before they were going to go to court and testify. So that's that. We haven't talked about the economy for a while, and it was 2, 3, 4 years ago when all the real potential for a meltdown, in particularly in Great Britain, was on the headlines. Even in the established media, the major newspapers were carrying it. If not headlines, it was page 3 or page 4. I mean, the Telegraph, I remember, carried a full-page article on page 3 or 4, saying that they believed that a crash in Britain was imminent, and that was a couple of years back. It didn't happen. One of the reasons it hasn't happened is because every crash in history has been orchestrated by those who seek to gain from it. You think about the 1929 Wall Street crash. If you're interested in a company, its shares are trading at $10.50, and then after the crash it's trading at $5.30, and you can buy that company, and that's exactly what happens. This potential crash, the one that's been talked about for many years, which has come right to the cliff edge and then gone back again, then a year or two later has come right forward again and just pushed back, that's not orchestrated by anyone. This is a out of control economic system that, if it does crash, will hurt the elite just as much as every other person on the planet. So that is the driving force why the elite have done everything they can to prevent the crash. Now, in Britain, we had the bank guarantee scheme, which meant that if you had up to a certain amount of money in the bank and there was a crash, then yes, the bank would take your money, take every penny of your money, whether you had £100 or 20, 30, 40, 50,000 pounds. But if it was under the agreed amount, after 2 weeks, 14 days, they would return that money to you. It was very kind of them. But it didn't stop them taking it in the first place. But nevertheless, they guaranteed to return it. And that is something that when you talk to members of staff at the bank, they say, oh yes, you know, it's a guarantee scheme. Well, it's very interesting that the European Union has basically said of late that this scheme probably isn't going to work. In other words, that it's not a European guaranteed scheme. It's individual countries individually backing or guaranteeing their private investors in banks. So if you're an ordinary person and you earn a certain amount and you put your money in the bank because the wages are paid in there, it's really aimed at protecting you. But what the European Union said was that if there was a meltdown in a particular country, because that country couldn't call on the European Central Bank to help them out on that matter, they probably wouldn't be able to guarantee that money. And therefore, that money would not be returned to the individual person. And that's really interesting, where we have the banks of Great Britain saying this money is guaranteed up to a set figure, but you've got the European Union saying actually it probably isn't. So it makes a total mockery of the truth and justice that we expect as ordinary peoples when we put our money in a bank. The bank is telling us everything's fine, but of course those who know a little bit more and perhaps a bit more open are saying no, France won't come to bail out Britain, Italy won't come to bail out Britain, or Britain won't come to bail out France, which sounds perfectly logical, because why would one country bail out another? And if your own country's going down and you don't have an international or national agreement, you're not going to get the help. So I'm flagging that because we're not out of the woods economically. There are still issues ahead of us. It's been dealt with at the moment. If there are large happenings in America in terms of the politics, that may have an effect on the economy, which may have an effect on our economy. And the other thing that is worth remembering is that the American military have for a very long time been funded through the Dow Jones, through the stock exchange, through the banking system. And if the banking system in America were to collapse, then a large proportion of the funds would not get through to the military for their black projects. So they've got a very vested interest, like many other elites, to keep the system going. But sometimes things happen and even the elites can't stop it. So some very interesting things going on. So although we're in the summer holiday period, there are still developments occurring. So thank you for being patient and hearing that. Now I'm going to ask Becky to very kindly take up from the last question that we had, please.
Okay, hello. This questioner is Jessica, and she says, "Hi Simon, glad you're back. If you want to cleanse your house of negative energies or spirits, what is the best way to do this? Is there a chant or crystal or sage that is best for this? How do you cleanse your house, Simon? And does it get rid of all evil energies or entities, or is there another way of getting rid of the things that go bump in the night? I'm RH negative and I always feel followed or watched. Is there a connection to my blood, or am I just paranoid?"
Right, okay, let's start with the cleansing. I think, Becky, you've talked a bit about sage, and perhaps you could, in a minute, you could just remind us a bit about that. Smells through burning incense and tones through sound have, for long in history, been a way of combating or making an environment so unfriendly for a certain individual or entity that it leaves. You can either invoke something that's good to run alongside that, or you can just do your quiet meditation. The question was very interesting, is what do I do where I live? Don't have many things bothering me. If I do get something that's been sent to cause annoyance, then I will, this is if you detect it, you don't always detect everything. Some things are just there to observe you and they'll hide in the corner or right down at the skirting board. But if you do detect something that's of a negative in sense, then I don't use any of that. I would just face it and just mind battle it, basically. Then the thing will have to go, and it does go. I've had a few of them. I remember doing an interview with Kerry Cassidy, and something appeared while we were doing the interview, and Kerry said, "Oh, you know, your feet felt very cold." So things do turn up And everyone has to find what is right for them, depending on the entity. So if it's a demon, such as a jinn or something along those lines, you're very unlikely to remove it with incense. But if it's one of the lesser ranks, the canine as it were, one of the lesser demons, then burning incense can help. But a lot of it is about your state of mind and the way you're feeling, and a negative entity can attach to that. And so burning some incense or making tones with a musical instrument can not just get rid of it, it lifts your spirits. And remember that the higher vibration you are, the harder it is for something to try and hook on to you. It's no coincidence that people who regularly use strong drugs or overdrink lower their defensive systems, and it makes it easier for an entity to attach, in which case then you've got a harder battle on your hands. I want to ask Becky, because you have some experience through your shamanic training, don't you?
Well, yes. I mean, I just use sage for cleansing the air, and you can open the windows, and I use the Tibetan symbols for sound. Sometimes just essential oils placed in the corner of the room, crystals as well, placing crystals. So I do things that might appear New Age, but they're rooted in shamanic traditions. But I've never had to clear a really dark entity out of my home. I don't think that those would necessarily work. I think that something stronger would be needed for that.
Yes, thank you. That's really helpful. I think that the really strong entities usually have been sent by somebody or something, and they have an agenda. Therefore, you have to perhaps face them or confront them or battle them with a similar type of understanding. The Rh negative doesn't necessarily mean that you would have more of those issues. It doesn't mean that you would necessarily be followed. People who are targeted individuals, gang stalked, or the intelligence services are after them, it's more to do with the bloodline or soul line. And I mean, if you've incarnated on this planet for many thousands of years and you've incarnated into physical bodies that have held positions of responsibility, then you have a signature that comes down with you. If your parents had an interesting position with the system, or you have stumbled upon some information, or you've suddenly got your memories back, these are all reasons why the system would want to follow you. Now, if you are Rh negative, that would suggest that the physical body that you have was designed to contain a certain type of soul, and therefore if that certain type of soul was one that had an interesting past on this planet, then yes, that's another indicator. You know, when I work with a client, one of the questions, if I'm not sure, would be about the bloodline of themselves or their family. So it's an indicator, but it doesn't mean on its own that that's would bring that about. Thank you.
I think there is a differentiation as well between cleansing your home and actually looking to what could be attached to oneself, as you say, because sometimes entities and things are attached to people rather than homes.
So if there's an attachment to you, then depending on that attachment, whether that attachment is through an agreement that you have made at some point in the long distant past, whether that attachment is something that took advantage of you when your shields were down, used a Ouija board, or ayahuasca in itself is not a problem, but sometimes the venues that ayahuasca is used, some of those venues are compromised, whether somebody was using other forms of occult magic, or whether somebody has sent a demon to attack a person. I had a lot of my clients from India, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia. I've had disagreements with the family. Maybe the eldest son got left a lot of land, and the other members of the family went and paid for someone to send a demon to ruin their life, and that's incredibly common. So in that case, cleaning the house with the traditional methods won't work because that attachment is an attachment to you, and therefore you have to work on yourself. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next question is by Yong Lien, who says, "Very courageous and Mother Earth thanks you. Friends have been listening for over a year. You are definitely not alone. Some of us, in brackets, those still living in this body, have been battling for decades these dark side beings and people who bring all that negativity on us. Question: we know there are some different ETs who seem to be helping or mentoring the Chinese hidden government. Do you know who they are now? Some say they are related to a distant past emperor of China. In fact, if you can give us a brief rundown of ET involvement in China's future technologies, thank you very much."
One of the issues here is, of course, there are a number of dragon societies in China. There are a number of elite organizations which I can't call them mafia type organizations, but they have links to that, and a number of Chinese presidents, leaders have been a member of those organizations. It's unlikely for a person to get to a very high position unless they're backed by somebody, and that's exactly the same in the Western world. So we need to understand, I think, that just as in America or Britain or France or Germany or Australia, there are very strongly competing powers. The difference with China is that it has an age-old culture, and that culture has made it very independent and very resourceful. And the Chinese, for some years now, have believed that it is almost their duty or their right to run the economy of the world. It doesn't mean they want to rule the world, but it means that they want to control the economy of the world. And there are some of these groups that do believe in a one world government in China. Now, if you have a more positive entity, an entity that wishes to steer China to being self-sufficient and very strong, but not actually hurting anyone in the process, you would have to work with a group of people who weren't actually the leadership at the moment. There are a number of leaders in China's history who have been very just, emperors of China, who were very just and were not, blood-soaked, crazed, Mongol-type people, but they were actually people who were caring for the people they were responsible for, and wanted a much greater, stronger China. Now, there have been in the past entities that have worked with those individuals, just as they would have done with previous prime ministers or presidents, or attempted to. China has always been the land of the dragon, so we need to understand that just as there are good forces, there are evil forces. And as far as I'm concerned, the jury's out at the moment in China, because it can go either way. It could either go down a one world, new world order route, or want to control everything. Look at the new face recognition software that China is now trialing. It's about 9 seconds. It takes about 9 seconds that somebody passes a shop window, and there will be, and there are, these small cameras, also through satellites, but mainly these are small cameras, take a photograph of your face, and then within 9 seconds, match that face on a database. So like the old days of the fingerprints, but this is face recognition, and there are a lot of people in China. With 9 seconds, and will tell the operator everything from your prison record, to how much is in your bank account, to what your school results were, to what you watch on television, what you do on computer, a lot. Now, that isn't really something that an organization that wanted freedom, justice, and civil liberties would really welcome. And yet that is the process in China and is being rolled out. It can only happen because of the new range of supercomputers. I'm not talking about the quantum wave D computers, but these are nevertheless supercomputers. The most powerful non-military supercomputer is run by the Department of Energy in the United States of America. Now, you'd say, why would the Department of Energy want to the world's most powerful civilian supercomputer? The reason for that is, of course, they want to go in energy, blockchain, money. They want to get involved in blockchain. If money and blockchain is energy and energy is money, you want the world's fastest civilian computer. So the Chinese are at it, the Americans are at it. That's not a true just organization. That's an organization still on the old road of money is power and power is money. So I can't give you a great rundown. What I will say is there are good forces in China. Yes, I believe you're correct. There was more than one emperor who embodied much of this truthful energy. And like everywhere on the planet, it's trying to break free. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Christian says, Simon, my pet bird recently passed away in my hands. He was 16 years old and lived twice as much as a bird of his type normally does. We had a great bond, and I'm devastated that he's gone, as I'm used to taking care of him and playing with him every day. He was a great companion. My question to you is, what happened to his soul at the moment of death? Do their souls go through the same process of being deceived and reincarnated into another body here on Earth, just like a soul of a human does? Also, do you think there's a possibility that we will ever meet again? Thank you for everything you do for humanity, and congratulations on a new radio show. We missed you, Simon.
Well, that's really kind of you. Thank you. Two questions, both very heartfelt. There are people, you know, who sort of scoff when you lose a cat, as you know I did, and this listener who lost a bird, and you know, oh, they're not people. Why are you getting so upset? It's not like your grandpa or your mother or your... That's to miss the point. The point is that when you share your home with an animal and you take it, and there are psychic connections. Sometimes the psychic connection between a person and his or her animal can be just as strong or stronger than with the members of the human family you live with. So it's a bit sad when people are, you know, not really understanding of that. So I'm very sorry that you did lose the bird. What I would say is that I'm sure that you gave the bird an excellent life, and it had a great life with you. And so we always celebrate the happy times, knowing that the physical body will always die. So first of all, it is only the human being on this planet that has this higher level of awareness and consciousness. It is only the human being that is being tested by Source. Because humans, unlike animals, can make the higher choices. That means that we should know better. Animals don't know better, therefore we can't expect them to know better. That's the key fundamental point here. So when your bird physical body died, the soul went up. Yes, it was recycled and will most likely come back as a bird. It could come back as something else, I guess, but I'm fairly certain it will come back as a bird. Will you be reunited? Every possibility that you will. If the bond is so strong between you, it is the bird that will find you rather than the other way around. And often when people go to rescue shelters for the pound for the dogs or the home for the cat, those in the know say, let the animal choose you. Don't walk down the aisle and say, oh, that's a really cute cat, or that's a really, you know, really nice puppy. Let the animal choose you, and you'll know that because it'll come towards you if it can. It will bark, it will try and hold eye contact. That is much more likely to be something that recognizes you. So don't go for the animal that you like. This is a really important point. Go for the animal that likes you, because it's really easy to have a number of animals and say, oh, this is my favorite animal because it's got pretty stripes or she's got pretty ears. What you need to do is to say, which of these animals is really choosing me? Which of these animals is really making the effort to connect with me? And so recognize that. Look beyond the physical. Look into the energy. And if you wish it and believe it, then you can help to make that soul of that at deceased bird from the physical point of view, reincarnate back through another life and find you? So yes, absolutely. So thank you for your questions.
Okay, thank you. Right, the name given to the next person is Long Live Simon Parks. And they said, hello Simon, do you think the Earth along with its people will grow from the third dimension to the fifth in our lifetime? And will the Earth still be a prison planet once it gets there?
Well, that's a really interesting point. The question, the first part of the question is often asked, but the second one in that context is not. Well, thank you for the long life. You know, there's often a toast in Britain. I don't know if it's in other countries, but in Britain you used to hold your glass, you charge your glass with your favourite drink, and you say long life and health and happiness, and the bank manager would say, you know, wealth and profit, but the rest of us aren't quite that bad, so we just say good health. I need to live as long as it takes to do something here, basically. I can't go, as many of us can't go, until the work's done. And if the work isn't done, well, I guess we get the choice to come back if we want that. So that's the important point there. What was the second question?
But will we go from the third to fifth in our lifetime?
Yeah, there was a double pit, wasn't
and
it? So let's just
the
do that.
The second one is, will the Earth still be a prison planet the fifth dimension?
Right, let's do the first one then. Yes, it will. Because if it doesn't, we've really failed. We've done something really bad. Like the Matrix, we've been here a number of times, but unlike the Matrix, we have the opportunity to really break free. In the Matrix films, there was this loop that was running that allowed them to just prevent the umpteenth model of Neo and the underworld from the underhuman world from breaking into the surface. And we don't want that, do we? We actually want to break free. And this is the opportunity. Never before has humanity made such an advancement. Each time, each cycle that we as a human race attempt this breakthrough, we are faced with an ever-increasing sophistication of control. So think back to the days of the flower power, as it was called, in the 60s. Young people were the driving force of a gentle rebellion, and the system very cleverly got in there and infiltrated that and prevented it. The breakthrough we're seeing now is an energy breakthrough based on the correct time of the Earth's evolution. In other words, the numbers of breakthrough attempts before were done because humanity was frustrated. Human consciousness was frustrated. It wanted to go to the next level. It wanted to break through, but the planet, for whatever reason, wasn't ready for it. So it could never make it because one was out of kilter with the other. Now the Earth, remember 2012 and the change that so many people said never happened, but really did happen. And what we're seeing is, of course, the bad guys are relying more and more on sophisticated technical tricks to try to prevent humanity from evolving. And 5G is perhaps their ace card, their number one method to try to prevent humans from evolving. There are more and more people waking up to the dangers of 5G, and many of these people actually work in the industry themselves, and they are beginning to come forward and say, there's something not right here. So humanity has overcome many, many hurdles that a very small, crazed group have thrown at us. And I don't think it'll be any different. I think we'll overcome it. But what happens is we are delayed. Right. This is a third dimensional planet. Many of us are third dimension in the soul, but some of us are different in our soul. But it is the physical body that matters here, because that is the organic connection to the planet Earth. The control mechanism is fourth dimensional. So we call it crafting the energy. So if you imagine energy crafted into a belt that is tightened round the Earth, that is the control element, and it's trying to squeeze and keep everything inside it. When humanity breaks out of the fourth dimensional control network, it has no need to evolve from the third to the fourth, because it's broken through the control of the fourth. So we need to go straight to the fifth. We don't have to do our time in the fourth, because when we evolve on this planet, we are not just leaving the third, but we are overcoming the dark energy of the fourth. So it's a straight push into the fifth. And that is why many people, and I understand it, they don't get it. They say, well, surely we've got to go third, fourth, and fifth. Maybe spend a million years in the fourth dimension. And no, that's not how it works here. Human race will be elevated quickly into the fifth, which is one of the reasons that you've got groups like the Pleiades, Andromedans, the Arcturians, and a host of others in the fifth dimension, all involved and excited and coming off the fence. Because basically, when the human race makes it, we're going to be in their world. We're going to be in their energy field. We will actually, if not rubbing shoulders in the fifth, we will be connectable in a way that we're not at the moment. So these guys have a vested interest in assisting us to get into their dimension, because it's a very exciting time as we learn from them and they learn from us. Great questions, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Cameron asks, did humans once have green copper-based blood?
I don't think so. I'm aware of the stories here. I'm aware of that. In Great Britain, for the elite people, we call it true blue. And in fact, the Conservative Party, the government of Great Britain at the moment, is its blue is its colour, and you can be described as a true blue. But of course, it means blue blood, which means elite, which might mean non-human. Copper-based material. I think that human blood was different maybe 20-odd thousand years ago, 25,000 years ago, and has been altered. I think the last sort of upgrade, I'm using the word loosely, intervention is probably a better word, that humans went through did alter the makeup of the blood. I would suggest that there was a little bit more copper in the blood, but I don't want to give the impression that it was green blood or it was a metallic type blood. It always has a metallic element to it. But it's one of those things that, unless we had the ability to go back and get a sample, we wouldn't know, because there were a number of experiments undertaken. Don't just think of the Adamu as two groups. Imagine maybe 20 or 30 research programs being undertaken to find the working physical form that was the most resistant to bacteria and virus, that was the most resistant to wear and tear. We take it for granted. You know, you have a dishwasher, you have a vacuum cleaner, and you use it regularly. Well, it breaks down, and you watch science fiction films, or you research our project, and you find that, you know, there are spacecraft that can, to a certain extent, repair themselves. And that's what the human body does. We take it so much for granted. It regenerates to a certain extent, not on a genetic level really, but it regenerates physically. And that's what alien spacecraft do. They, to a certain point, they can regenerate. So we as creatures have been brought to the pinnacle within a control system. So our age is automatically limited. Originally, I believe, many thousands of years ago, people lived much, much older. And then the trigger was put in so that we would degenerate. Because remember, somebody who lives for 500 years, or a people that live for 500 years, the knowledge that they can store up. Imagine Tesla were alive today, and instead of dying at the tender age that he did, supposing he had the capability to live for 500 years, can you imagine the inventions that he would create? This is why humanity is now in these days has been artificially limited to a maximum of 100 years or thereabouts. to prevent humanity learning and escaping. This is evil, and it's wrong, because if you read the Bible, and a lot of the Bible is true, shock horror, it does talk about people living for hundreds of years. Now, if we accept that a reptilian has a normal lifespan of 2,000 years before they go in for any form of genetic material to extend their life or a cloning process, then it isn't so hard to understand that humanity had many hundreds of years of life. So it's a really interesting topic. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay, thank you. Eric says, "Dear Simon, about a year ago you mentioned the term transformed reptilian during the radio show. Ever since, I've been wondering, what is a transformed reptilian? Thanks for answering."
Oh, great. I can't actually remember saying that. Doesn't mean I didn't. That's something I don't remember. It would have been really helpful if you could have given it the context. If you hit me with the word transformed reptilian, the only thing I would come up with would be somebody who had a reptilian body, such as the highest in the land, and had decided that they were going to break from the control group they were in and be independent, or do something even better than that, which was to get on the side of the human race and start helping. So if I think of the word transformed reptilian, what that means to me is a reptilian who can fully shapeshift, physical body, the lot, but doesn't owe their allegiance to their reptilian family, has decided that they want the human race to succeed. So I don't remember using the phrase. It would have been helpful to have had the context of it, but that's my understanding if I see the word transformed reptilian. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Heidi says, "Dear Simon, my name is Heidi. I am so thankful that you have found another home for your radio show. Every 2 weeks you were a light on my path. Thank you for your wonderful work. My question, is the energy wave of the source still on the way, or did they manipulate the timeline? And is the financial crash still a topic? Please excuse my English. God bless you, Simon."
You know, things are often meant to happen. I mean, it's amazing I haven't talked about financial situation, and then the prelude, you know, I did mention it, and we've got a question on it. So excuse me if I don't answer that, because, you know, you'll have your answer at the beginning of the show. And what was the first one again? The first bit? There was two parts of the question, wasn't there? There was the question.
Is the energy wave?
Right, the energy wave.
Still,
yeah.
On the way. I mean, this was back in March, April, when this would have been asked, I guess.
Sure.
April. Yeah.
Yes. Over the last sort of 5 or 6 years, there have been a number of these waves coming, either from Galactic Center or from another location, sometimes from the sun itself. And they don't all just do the same thing. They'll do different things. And I've always tried to make it clear that we can't have it and get it over with in one go, because we'd all be fried. You can't have one blast of energy and we'll all evolve tomorrow, because these frail human bodies could not cope with that. So it has to be incremental and it has to be gradual. It's also dependent on the negativity that has been ramped up against us. So if we believe in a source, and by the way, when I use the word God, I am referring to source. Somebody took offense to my using the word God, and I do read some of the comments, you know, and sort of said, "You're referring to the God of the Israelites, or the God of this, God of that." No, I'm just using the word God because that's the thing in the Bible, and I mean source. When source is balancing the energies, if, for instance, the bad guys have had a good day from their perspective and they seem to have got the shout on us, then we will get a slightly different variation of the energy wave. If things are fairly stable, then it will be whatever was programmed to come down. These energy bombardments or waves are going to continue to occur. Some of them modern science can identify, they call it something else, but there's much that is not detectable. You know, sometimes a planet is hit by a positive wave of energy, which has not been referred to. There's been no communication about it. And just because we go around the next day absolutely, you know, zonked out, doesn't mean it was bad. It means that we've been perhaps recalibrated or advanced or something's happened. And we do need that time to recuperate. So these energy waves are going to continue to come. They'll continue to come up to about 2023. Some will be very obvious and some will be less so. Thank you for your kind words. Remember that I do this regular show with Rebecca, but I also do a show on my own with Ted Marr and Seattle Radio for America, which is difficult for Brits to get. I understand that, but Ted's also going on to video, so at some point there'll be video shows. So I'm doing at least three shows a month, sometimes four. So if you're very involved in America, you're very interested, try and listen into that, because I try to aim my answers and comments particularly for the Americans, whereas when I do this show with Rebecca, it's much more for the world and Great Britain. Although America is important, I try to balance it out a bit. Thank you.
And Ted Marr's just started putting his interviews with you on YouTube.
Thank you. I'd forgotten about that. Yes, he did send an email and I didn't remember it, but he's just started now putting them on YouTube. So if you are an American in Britain, or you're an American and you don't get the chance to hear it live, then if you go on YouTube, and then it'll be quite American-centric. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Cherie or Cherry says, "The night before Barbara Bush died, I had a dream. There was a tiny skeleton in the dream that I had pulled out of my gum area of my body. It had a full skull and bones attached. I quickly disposed of it and didn't want anyone to see. After that, I pulled out the figure of a person with fairies and perhaps angels around her or him. I quickly got rid of that one too, hiding it. That one seemed fake or non-authentic, unlike the skeleton that seemed very creepy. Thinking of the skull and bones, and also the fake light sources that come in the name of helping others, made me think of the casting out of angels and demons happening perhaps now. Please can I have your thoughts on that?"
It was very interesting. I haven't quite had that, but I can give you an analogy or something similar. When I was very young, very, very young, 3.5 years old, and I have talked about it a number of years ago, but it do no harm because it's a good lead into the answer for this. So I was about 3.5 years old, and what I can just basically describe as a clown literally walked through the wall and stood in the middle of the floor, and my natural reaction was to scream. There was a psychic connection between me and this creature, and it couldn't understand why I was reacting in the way I was reacting. It was absolutely confused. And the next thing I knew is that it had changed into a policeman. But not a very accurate policeman. It looked like a policeman from Charlie Chaplin's Keystone Cops. That's quite interesting because it would have accessed my mind. I would have obviously watched cartoons or old films with Charlie Chaplin and sort of thought a policeman would look like. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because if the first thing that you appear to pull out was a skeleton, they got their planning wrong, and your reaction to that was incredibly negative. Why would they create a skeleton? Because it has no covering. It's got nothing for you to make a judgment on. It's the bones of the case. It's the center of it. It's the real thing. So I can understand why they've done the skeleton. And as soon as the skeleton didn't work, you then were confronted with a fairy, which was sort of trying to make something a little bit more palatable. And I would suggest that both of those were not necessarily good. And you are saying in your thing that, you know, you're feeling that it wasn't particularly a good thing. So I think it was checking you out and seeing how you were reacting. And when you didn't react positively, it swapped from a skeleton to a fairy. So thank you for the question. Thank you. What I'd like to do now is to thank those who very kindly donated. you know, over the summer period. Perhaps thinking about Simon isn't something that you would do. But, you know, thank you for all of you who have thought about me and kept me a lifeline going. So it's time for me to read my honour list. So I want to thank Robert, Julius, Sue, Shauna, Christopher, Catherine, Edgar, Martin, Shamsa, Tina, Alisa, Sheil, Raymond, Cheryl, Isabel, Olaf, Tom, Emgard, Nathan, Ralph, Olaf, Shirin, Dawn, Keely, Thomas, Powernet, Alexander, David, and the Gorilla Guy, Margaret, Sheena, Leslie, Lars, Juan, Gerard, Mark, Julie, Jeff, Nan, and Derard, Terry, Oliver, Bronwyn, Brenda, nearly finished, Janine, Samuel, Stephanie, and Glenn. If I've missed any of you, I'm very sorry, I didn't mean to. But thank you very much for those of you who have found time during your holiday, or perhaps you don't have a holiday, but for thinking of me and supporting me. I'm very grateful. Helps me to keep going and keep doing what we're doing. This September, the first week in September, for all members of Connecting Consciousness in Great Britain, and there are just short of 700 of you, we're having a meeting in London. We've emailed all 700 inviting you to the venue. It is not going to be a conference. It's not that sort of show. It's basically for members who've joined Connecting Consciousness. I want to move Connecting Consciousness to become what the Americans would call a non-profit organization. I want to have a constitution. I want to have articles of governance and form a charitable organization so that when these people fund the projects, then it's going not to me personally, but it goes to the charitable organization. And to do that, I'm going to need people who want to be on the management board. I need people who want to become involved. And so the first kickoff for this is a meeting in London for all members of Connecting Consciousness who've been invited in Great Britain to be part of that. Now, there will be others for other countries to be involved in, but this is just the British kickoff of that. So that's something working towards, and that's obviously kept some of my time quite busy, and I'll inform you how that goes. And if you are interested and you want to become a member of Connecting Consciousness, then, you know, please send an email and we'll go through. Right, I think we'll do one more question, and then I think we'll call it a day for this session. So please, Becky, if you'd be very kind and just give us one more question.
Okay, well, we are finishing with quite a long question because it's got several parts.
Right.
And it's by a pseudonym, Nuck Choris. I guess that's a take on Chuck Norris.
Or Arcturus. No?
No, just Nuck Choris.
Oh, I see, with
sure
an N.
Okay,
Nuck.
Okay, so he says, "Hello, Simon. I was wondering if you could tell us about crystal beings. What are they? Where do they come from? What kind of soul do they have? And what is their connection to the crystals we have here on Earth? I'm asking because I really recently had an incredible experience with what I believe to be the soul of a crystal. She took me into a deep state of meditation and healed me, and she helped me deal with issues I thought I would live with forever. I hope you're doing well. Much love and peace from Denmark." Do you want me to go through the first questions again?
In a minute, please, be very kind of you, but let me just answer this. Crystals in themselves, I believe, on this planet and the ones that we have access to, don't actually have a soul. But there are crystal beings, and I have the privilege of actually seeing one and being in one's presence. I would imagine, and I haven't got any evidence for this, but I would imagine it would be possible for a crystal being to project itself into another crystalline structure. So although your standard crystal or mineral wouldn't contain such a consciousness. It might have the structure that would allow that consciousness to be projected into it on a temporary level. That I can go with. The crystal being that I met, it's about 2010, about 8 years ago now, isn't it? Is that right? I was very tall, and didn't have arms and legs, but was able to grow what I would just loosely call an appendage. If you think of a stalagmite in a cave, one of those things that goes up with a pointy bit, but it didn't have a pointy bit. It was a round thing like a chandelier, like a cut glass crystal chandelier. And I can't remember now if it rotated clockwise or counterclockwise, but the head rotated. But not the face. There were crystal shards hanging from it, and it was the shards that rotated. Definitely two eyes. Most definitely two eyes. No nose and no mouth. But the body was a sort of an appendage that grew down, or it generated down from the head to touch to the floor. Height, 7.5 foot, something like that. In terms of the soul, I can only say a crystal being soul, because they're not human of any sort. They don't have a connection with humanity in terms of sharing a shared growth path. They are familiar with reptilians, and they're familiar with greys. So for those people who have met them, it's not surprising if there were greys or reptilians around. The can tell you is, unsurprisingly, I suppose, the American military have connected with these beings and have some connection with them. And I can't remember what they refer to themselves as, or something like, sounds a joke, Transformers. That's not, it's something like that. In terms of communication, they don't, of course, use vocal cords. The best way to describe these crystal beings' communication, if I was to get a metal pail or a metal bucket and put a handful of marbles, glass kids' toy marbles in there, or a bunch of rocks, and then just shake that up, as crazy as it sounds, that was sort of what the language was like, unedited. So in terms of the soul, I can't say to you it was a human soul, because it wasn't. So what I could say to you is it did have a soul, absolutely it did, but it was unlike anything I've ever experienced, because it's a crystalline based life form. Now, what's fascinating, I guess, take it to the next stage, is if you think about Saturn and the rings of Saturn, and the establishment tell us this is just ice crystals, whereas I believe they are real crystals, you know, mineral crystals, hence it's an aerial, it's a transformer. But what's to say that, you know, there aren't creatures that live in environments that don't need to breathe air like that, that can be in space and have a crystalline technology, and have that sort of intellect. So that's really exciting, because it takes it completely away from the biological format into an understanding of geometry and structure, which is really alien in the true sense of the word from anything here on Earth in terms of a life form. So was that, did you say there was more questions, or is that it? Well, on that one?
I really love that answer. In fact, taking that further,
okay,
could crystal beings and the souls of crystal beings be connected to planets? Because planets are crystalline.
Yes. I mean, I go as far as to say that crystals are created by the tectonics and the heat and the magnetism and the movement within the Earth. So crystals are, let's talk about earth crystals now, crystals are a part of the earth just as much as your regular piece of granite or your regular piece of chalk.
They are, those are crystals as well.
They are.
The earth is crystalline in many shapes and forms.
Sure, but I'm talking about very few people would put a lump of chalk on their table or their altar, whereas they might put a nice piece of amethyst.
Mm.
So, I forgot what I was going to say now. So when a crystal in the true sense of the word is formed, then it is a mark of beauty. The earth has created something that it's very special and values and wants to show its beauty. Now, if we believe in fairies, and I actually do, because I've never seen a fairy one-to-one. I've actually seen one on a time-lapse camera, and I know who was behind that time-lapse camera, and there's absolutely no trickery at all. And this creature was about 3 inches tall. For our European friends, that's what, about six, seven,
ten
centimetres? Really? Oh, see, I've got no idea. Centimetres, I don't know.
I think.
Ten centimetres. I'm looking around for a ruler here. I've got about five rulers, and oh, look, I found a ruler. See, if I manifest a ruler, I find a ruler. Isn't that great? So here's my ruler, and I said 3 inches, and you said 10 centimetres. Well, 7.5 centimetres. You were nearer than I was. What an argument over human methods of measuring. So anyway, this thing was really, really tiny, and it was an element of the earth. And I always got the feeling that these little creatures would work with crystals, or they would work with things that could resonate, hum, vibrate, shift in terms of its energy shape. A planet has a soul. We know that. Absolutely, we know that. We know this planet is feminine. And so if you are looking at crystals, you have to accept that. Now, anyone who's been the divine feminine in Atlantis, you've got the crystals, tall crystals, maybe 12 feet tall, all in a circle, and each crystal had 1, 2, 3, or 4 divine feminine standing by the side of them, and then the crystal became the feminine and the feminine became the crystal, and there was that sharing of consciousness, if you like, and then the Atlantean females could project their minds out to time, different dimensions and time travel. But the point I'm making is that the crystal was much more than just a device that could communicate or could produce power. It was a receptor for sentient knowledge. It did not have its own soul, but the divine feminine, either working on in ones, twos, or threes, could actually interface with that crystal. And that's why spiritual people on the planet today can pick up a crystal and feel its vibration or feel its heat, or not communicate with it as so much, but be part of it, because the crystal is part of the earth, and if it's part of the earth, it has a communication structure if you can open that. So that's great. It's a really lovely question to end on, so thank you very much indeed. Thank you from Becky, thank you from me, and I just want to give a quick thank you to Andy Bale, who maintains the website and looks after the show. What's Andy's company called, Becky?
Rapid Rescue.
So Andy is an excellent computer guy. If you have a problem with a computer, you phone him up and then he puts it right. So Andy's Rapid Rescue, who runs the website, does everything for me. This is a big thank you, and I really need to thank you every time for that. So that's great. So listen, until next time, keep strong, keep believing, and we will get there in the end. God bless. Bye-bye.